Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps, the show where we take breaks for a month. Oops.
This one was my fault. I take full responsibility. This month break was entirely because of me. It's my bad.
Happy April, everybody. We skipped the month of March, except for Alana's birthday, which we celebrated wholeheartedly. And then the rest of March was just kind of weird, and now we're back. So here we are.
Yeah, I lived two full lifetimes in March. I'm on the third one.
You had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, for sure.
Literally in actually the same 24 hours is when that happened, is when I had a high high and a low low.
So everyone yay, Lisa lived, Khaleesi lived.
Yeah, let me just, you didn't ask, but let me tell you. So we took what was going to be 2 weeks off because I went out of town. I went out of the country on a family trip to Iceland, and then a couple of days in the UK to meet some family that I've heard tales of, but I had never met myself. And on the very last night of that trip, our plane left in 12 hours, I got a call from the dog boarding place because my dog Khaleesi bloated, which is a very, very, very bad lethal thing that happens to dogs where their stomach like fills up full of air. And sometimes it twists if you're unlucky, which we were. Lisa was. her stomach twisted. It perforated. And then the ripped ends of the stomach that were flapping free twisted around her spleen. And so everything sort of necrotized. So she should have died, but she didn't. And now she's here. And now I feed her through a tube because she doesn't like to eat because her tummy hurts all the time. So I've had... That's been my last 2 weeks.
But she's getting better. Lisa will be tube-free eventually.
She will be tube-free eventually. It's a whole thing confounding where, like, technically her stomach can handle solid food, but she's on a fuck ton of, like, antibiotics. That's how you say that word. I said it in a weird way. antibiotiques, as they say in the French. As the French say, antibiotiques. You can quote me on that. So she's on a lot of medication that makes her nauseous, and then she doesn't want to eat. But it lost, like, I'd say 20 pounds in her vet stay. So she looks like a street rat. She looks awful. She's so skinny. And there was a concern where, like, we were kind of afraid that after all this she was going to starve to death because she had made it all this way but wasn't eating any food and we couldn't get her to eat and she could, like, barely lift her head because she was so tired and sleepy and hungry. So now, yeah, we have to feed her through. Sorry, all of this is gross. I didn't give a content warning or anything. All of this is fucking disgusting. But now we have this cute little thing where we got an esophageal tube put in. So it's a tube that goes through her neck into her esophagus and then down into her stomach. And so we have to take her high-calorie renal support canned dog food that is super expensive for no goddamn reason. And we have to blend it up in a blender like a smoothie with a little bit of water.
Oh no. I hope that it has its own blender.
It does now. It was once the family blender. It is now Khaleesi's meat smoothie blender.
Oh, that's so gross.
And then the vet gave us a bag of about 50 just like fucking huge, huge syringes. So we have to take up 60 milliliters of that concoction and put it into the tube and feed it to her slowly over the course of about 20 minutes. Because if you syringe the food into it quickly, it's confusing and she throws up. So we're now up to... We're now...
Surprise.
We had to do a couple days of like titrating so that her stomach could stretch. But now we're at the full dose, which is 270 milliliters. Of fucking food,
good for her.
Which is so many fucking syringes, Courtney.
But it's good that she can like eat again, though, technically.
Yeah, and when her like anti-nausea medication is all in and working, she eats a little bit of solid food now.
That's good.
So it's just about getting calories in her. But yeah, it's I love it. It's great.
dogs are my passion.
It is not unlike, I'm told, I've never had a newborn baby, but I'm told it's not unlike that.
It seems very similar to when you have a sick newborn, yeah.
Because, yeah, the other thing is, when I feed her through the tube with all of that, with the 270 milliliters, I have to do that 4 times a day.
Yeah.
So that's a large chunk of my day.
Don't you have... I could be completely wrong. I've never had a baby. Don't you have to feed them, like, every 4 hours or something?
Yes.
That's crazy.
You sleep when the baby sleeps.
That's insane. Couldn't be me.
Simply, the baby's gonna have to deal.
I need a solid 9 hours. I'm sorry.
Uninterrupted, mind you.
Sorry to my child. No, it's never uninterrupted, because I have not a baby, but basically a toddler who likes to run around and wake up at 4 a.m. and then say, feed me, please. So.
Anyway, all this to say, my one tangent that's going to connect this back to what the fuck we're doing is when I was in Iceland before this, back when my dog had a stomach that worked. I was in Iceland, and that was awesome, and we had a tour guide that came with us a lot of places, and she told us a story one day of how, actually Gordon Ramsay comes to Iceland a lot. Apparently he comes to Iceland like 4 or 5 times a year. I don't know, bask in the glory of Icelandic food, which is like, I wouldn't call it that necessarily. But he does stop by a lot.
You know what? He must stop there on his way to and from, like, England or something.
I believe that. It is actually kind of right on the way.
It is, yeah.
Between New York and London.
No, because there's that flight. I remember seeing ads for this everywhere when I was in London. Iceland Air had this, like, deal where they wanted you to take, like, a 3-day layover in Iceland before going to or from London. And I was like, that's pretty sweet. Like,
yeah, you should have done that.
I wish I had, but I did not purchase my tickets when I was abroad, so.
Fair enough. So, yeah, she said that he's there a lot. And specifically, when he first came, he tried the Icelandic delicacy, like, national food, traditional food, which is the fermented shark. And apparently Gordon Ramsay made a huge deal about, like, spitting it out and was like, that is the most foul thing I've ever put in my mouth. And so everybody calls him a pussy. Everyone in Iceland thinks that Gordon Ramsay's a pussy. and I heard this story and I went, I bet I'm not a pussy like Gordon Ramsay. I bet I could be better than Gordon Ramsay in this respect. And so there was, like, one particular, like, tourist trappy area in Reykjavik. That I dragged a lot of my family to because I was like, I want to try the fermented shark. I've heard that it doesn't taste good, but I think that I could beat it, right? Like, I think they just tell you that because they want to scare the tourists.
This became like man versus food for you.
It did. I was like, how bad can you possibly be? I have made a point to say on this podcast in particular that I'll try any food. I'll try it because how bad can it be? So I had a reputation to uphold. So we went to this little cafe. We went to Cafe Loki right by the big old church. And I ordered the, like, and it was called, like, the Norse God plate, where it had a little bit of, like, smoked salmon on, like, rye bread. It was, like, a sampler of lots of things. It had, like, some french fries. It had some, like, traditional. It had some lamb cutlets. It was very meant to be a very traditional Icelandic plate. And it came with the fermented shark. And I was like, hell yeah, brother. And the waiter was like, would you like a shot of Brennivin with that? Which is this just, like, I don't know, the kind of alcohol that peels the paint off your car.
No. I think, like, they, Everclear?
Yeah, they compared it to grappa, I think, which I think is the foulest shit in the world.
What's grappa?
Grappa is, like, I don't even fucking know. It's, like, some kind of liquor that I think is still made from fermented grapes, except that it's not wine, it's poison.
I'm gonna Google it. You keep telling your story.
So, you know, they offered a shot of Brennivin, because that's the Icelandic version of just, like, shoe polish alcohol. They call it Drought of the Living Death or something like that. It is that foul of an alcohol.
Oh. It's like Malort.
Yeah, except Malort had like a flavor. This flavor was just alcohol.
Oh, it's just straight fire.
So I initially turned down the shot, and the waiter was like, "You're gonna want it."
Oh.
You're gonna want it.
That's never good. It's never good when they offer you something that's basically gasoline and then say, "You're gonna want that."
And so my dad also got some. He got the same plate that came with it, and he also got the shot. And then the food came and it was put down, and I don't know what I expected when I thought of fermented shark, but what they brought in terms of fermented shark was an itty bitty little ramekin with three itty bitty, probably like a centimeter by centimeter little cubes of fermented shark. Oh. And I was like, that's fucking nothing. I can house that shit, right? That'll be nothing at all. And so the waiter starts to explain. And what he says is, okay, so do you know how to eat the fermented shark? And I was like, with my mouth. And he was like, yes, but, he's like, so what you're supposed to do, cause you're not supposed to just like hork it back. I forget what word he said, but you're supposed to chew on it. You're supposed to chew on it for 10 to 15 seconds until the flavor goes from bad to worse. I'll never forget. He said, till the flavor goes from bad to worse. And then I was like,
that's how they sell it?
Uh-oh. I thought my dad and I were going to do like a 3-2-1 go kind of situation. So the waiter has told us this. I'm looking over to my dad to make some sort of jolly quip like I'm known to do. But he's already got a toothpick in. His first piece of shark is in. And he starts chewing. my dad is like very stoic and emotionless, and that's like his whole thing, and he's a man, you know? So he chewed for a couple of seconds and then did like a full gag. Full like vomit in the mouth gag. And I was like, I was kinda jazzed, so I was kinda yelling, which was sort of commanding the attention of the room. What's the problem? I had like gathered an audience because I'm loud.
The loud American is doing something dumb.
My dad's like gagging, and I was like, oh my god, wait, I thought we were gonna do this together, and now everybody's watching. And so the waiter's just like, well, enjoy. So my dad's trying to like choke down his shot. So I was like, it's time, we gotta go, baby. So I had my first little chunk. A fermented shark. It was... Courtney, it was the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. And I've, like, I've had dicks in my mouth, Courtney.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Wikipedia, and the pictures are bad.
I only saw, like, tiny... Yeah, it's like a fleshy, just, like, cream-colored thing. But, so you put it in your mouth, and the bad flavor... is just like it's like, I mean, I like fish, but it's like rancid fish. It is like so fish, it's extra fish. It is so fish. And I'm chewing on it, waiting for the flavor to get from bad to worse, and I keep thinking that like, oh, this is the flavor switch. There's a video of me that my uncle took where I am crying. And oh my god, when the flavor does go, it goes from bad to much, much worse. It got like spicy. There was like a sudden like spice to it, which made me want to gag and cry. And it was like ammonia. It was like the smell of bleach was the taste of it.
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia is saying, that it contains fermented shark contains a large amount of ammonia. So you ate ammonia, basically. You ate a little cube of ammonia.
Yeah, he said, like, you want to... The waiter specifically said, like, you want to chew on it till it tastes like ammonia. Is, like, what he said. I believe the lore is that it's supposed to taste like pee. Like, for people that are like, I've never tasted pee, but this is what pee is. Urine was what it evokes. And, yeah, let me tell you, once you have that in your mouth and you take the shot, the alcohol tastes like water.
Chef Anthony Bourdain described fermented shark as the single worst, most disgusting, and terrible tasting thing he had ever eaten.
Yeah, same.
So, it's not just Gordon Ramsay.
My sister, my sister brought home a bottle of the Brenovan, and so we're filming this on Monday, the day after Easter. And they like broke it out for Easter, and I took one look at it, and I was like, I can never put that in my mouth again. It comes with too many bad memories.
Yeah. Oh, so the meat of the Greenland shark is poisonous when fresh because of its high urea and trimethylphthalamine oxide content. However, when fermented, it can be consumed safely.
Well, thank God we did that.
Ooh, they do a curing period where they hang it into strips, and then during a drying period, it develops a brown crust, which they will take off before serving.
Oh, I didn't want to know that.
Yummy.
I didn't need that.
Oh yeah, this picture of the curing room is no good.
Oh my god. It won in the man versus food, actually. Well, no, because I did eat it and I didn't gag like a bitch like my dad did.
Yeah, you did tank it, so like proud of you for doing that.
But I did like weep. Like I shed a tear. It's on video somewhere. Maybe I'll post it on the Instagram if you guys are nice to me.
No.
Fair enough. But yeah, I was like, maybe Gordon Ramsay isn't a pussy after all, because yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, at least you didn't spit it out like he did.
I did maybe not spit it out. I'm not a fucking bitch.
I mean, this just proves once again, women are stronger than men.
It's true.
Cause like, y'all got some stinky dicks. Like,
yeah, I don't know if you can keep this in, but like, cause I've like tasted cum, you know, and I'm not gonna like choose it, but it was better than the shark.
If you want me to cut that out, I'll cut it out.
I haven't decided yet. We'll talk about it.
Okay, it's at 17 minutes, so I'm just gonna write that down.
I don't know. Maybe we'll keep it in because that's how strongly I feel about this. Like, if I had the choice between between semen and fermented shark, I would choose the semen. I would. I'm sorry. Keep it in. You know what? Fucking keep it in.
All right. She said keep it in, folks.
Fucking.
But this does.
Let's just fucking do it, man.
We're doing it live. Welcome to the 20 minutes of Alana and Courtney catching up. But you'll get over it because this is our podcast, so we make the rules.
Yeah, true.
I did see a TikTok of a woman who would freeze her husband's cum to use as a moisturizer and snack, and I had to throw my phone away for the day.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
I never see, like, the original TikToks, but I always get the, like, ones of people stitching it and going, like, day 394 of you having to watch my For You page because what the fuck is this?
I've never had the impulse.
No, because why would you?
Why would you? Why would I? I guess I shouldn't, kink shame, but I've never has occurred to me once, ever, to do that.
Sometimes I think it's okay to, not shame, but, like, question. You know?
Sometimes it's okay to shame.
No, I didn't say shame, I said question.
I'm changing what you say.
Okay, well. In this episode of Kitchen Nightmares... I have no transition. Welcome back to Ramsay's Recaps, the podcast where we... Welcome back to...
Don't you dare cut that out. If we're keeping my thing in, you have to keep that in.
I can't talk anymore.
You shouldn't cut a goddamn thing of this. You should keep every word of this podcast.
This is the most unhinged. Like, I feel like every episode I say this is the most unhinged episode, but it's just because we get funnier every time, I'm sorry to say. Like, you can only top yourself when you're at the top, you know?
That's true.
Well, this is the podcast where we recap Gordon Ramsay. We just recapped his time in Iceland, not with Alana. I wish that would. I also really wish. Imagine you ran into Gordon Ramsay in fucking Iceland.
I would die.
You're at the hot springs and he's just chilling.
Oh my god, imagine if I ran into Gordon Ramsay at the fucking hot springs. The only thing is that,
that would have been really funny.
I thought Iceland had one hot spring. I thought it was like the one, the big one, the Blue Lagoon one. There's like 875. There's a bazillion.
Well, yeah, because it's just an island of volcano.
Yes. Oh, by the way, the volcano erupted 12 hours after I left.
Ah, sick. Did you learn how to pronounce the name of it?
No.
I can't do it either, but I know it's hard. Icelandic is one of those languages that doesn't feel real when I hear it, even though I know it is.
Yes, that's correct. You're right about that.
It's like a Slavic language, right?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. So this week, Gordon's in New Jersey, also a very foreign place to most people. So... What's funny is that I think the soccer, like, World Cups are being held in New Jersey this time. And so all these European people are just going to show up and be in fucking New Jersey. Like, what are you going to do? Like, go to Walmart? Like, ooh. So, Gordon's visiting Mike and Nellie's, a steakhouse and seafood restaurant in Oakhurst, New Jersey. It was opened in 1996 by father and son, Nellie and Mike Farber. They ran it as a team. Nellie was front of house. Mike was in the back of the house. But sadly, it's gone downhill after Nellie died, like a few years prior to this episode. And so his daughters have stepped in to kind of help him run the restaurant. His older daughter is a server and his younger daughter is the hostess. I think I got that right.
Yeah, I think so. Even though neither one looked older than 16.
But they're both in college, they said. So I assume they're like 18 and 19.
Yeah, the youngest you can be.
Yeah. And so Mike has now had to take over running their whole restaurant by himself. As a result, the whole restaurant's kind of gone to shambles. He's kind of left it to fall apart. And then he... drinks in the kitchen and the food doesn't come out great, but he says it's good and all the other chefs just kind of don't know what to do. And then the restaurant also smells bad because the carpet is moldy, which is never good.
Is this where we got that first shot of, like, it comes up later, but it was a promo shot of those, like, super black charcoaly onions that I was so sure was like a fucked up crab at first. Actually, both times it was on screen, I was like, what fucked up crab is that? And then I listened to any word be said.
And it was in fact burnt onions.
Positioned perfectly crab-like.
Yeah, this is also when we got like the shot of like a family of five at a table and they call the waiter over very calmly and the waiter's like, oh, and no, it's the daughter, the hostess. And they're like, oh, like, how can I help you? And they're like, yeah, can you get the bug off our table? And there's just, like, a full, like, roach just on their table. And she casually just grabs it with her hand. And I was like, this isn't real. There's no way.
I watched that and I was like, Courtney's soul is leaving her body right now.
That can't be real. There's no way none of them are freaking out. They're all so calm and being like, oh, hey, miss, there's like a giant roach on our table that's the size of my thumb. Can you get rid of it? And she grabs it with her hand.
She grabs it with her
hand.
What do
you mean?
She rips off its head with her teeth.
Like, what are we talking about here? Like, I know I'm crazy because I don't like bugs, but like, come on. Like, come on.
I did the lack of shame. I did clock that.
You know, that's my first critique of this episode. I'm pretty sure it was a fake brooch, Gordon. I'm coming for you and your fake mouse and your fake brooch.
I was just going to say, like, the fake mouse.
So, there are complaints about the food, but Mike doesn't think the food is bad. So, Gordon comes to town, and he first meets up with Mike's daughter, Samantha, who's the older one, the waitress. And she takes him in her car to the restaurant and kind of fills Gordon in on the situation. She says that Mike hasn't really been able to move forward since his dad died and has kind of, like, put up walls and won't let anyone help him. Like, he won't... Even if the restaurant is failing, he's, like, in his head, he has to do it all alone still. So, that's chill. Yeah. Don't be like that.
Go try a therapy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just try one therapy.
Yeah, like a singular therapy would be cool. I know he's like a big dude, like boss man from New Jersey, but like Tony Soprano did therapy, so you know. Right? Like, I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
That's like the whole point of The Sopranos, he's in therapy.
Yeah, it's true.
Gordon arrives at the restaurant and meets daughter number two, Lexi, and he walks in and he's like, "Do you smell that?" And she's like, "No, I only smell your cologne." And he's like, "You don't smell that." And then he makes her walk outside, do a little dance, and then come back in to like see if she smells the bad smell.
Fucking and she's like,
"No, I just smell your cologne." And then he like goes and sits down, and then he meets Mike, and he learns that they haven't changed anything in the dining room since they bought the restaurant 15 years ago, which is a little crazy, and that's also probably why the carpet smells bad. You gotta change the carpet, like, every few years, my guy.
Yes, you have to, or even just, like, vacuum it once or twice.
Yeah, even just, like, wash it, maybe, like, once. Like, get a...
Just once.
Get a steam... Just get a steam vacuum in there. Or, better yet, don't put carpet in your restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, it works sometimes, but it didn't sometimes. Need to work here. Yeah. It gives me more like a... It has to be either fine dining or, like, a Sweet Tomatoes.
Yes. I'm either at a hometown buffet or a 3-star Michelin restaurant.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I can't have, like, a mid-range $2 sign steakhouse on Yelp have carpet in it, please.
Correct.
Thank you. So, he sits down and orders, and that's when he gets handed the menu, and he literally goes, "Did somebody pee-pee on my menu?"
I don't remember that part. I just spit out my water, though.
And it's because there's like a coffee stain on it, and so Lexi's like, no, it's just coffee, haha. And so he meets Janine the server, who does say it smells in there. Poor Janine, she seems so sweet, and she was just very there to do her job.
She was doing her best. She was doing the Lord's work.
So they do steak, seafood, and Italian food. So Gordon's like confused about what type of restaurant it is. Which is funny, because that just sounds like the restaurant you work at. So
it does, where it's like, are we Greek, are we Italian? I don't know, whatever you want to be.
I feel like Gordon would have an aneurysm if he saw how the menu was.
I have thought about this on numerous occasions, on what Gordon Ramsay would say if he came to my restaurant. I mean, I don't own it, you get it. And I do think that the only thing he would say is that our menu is too big. Because our menu is too big. It's absurd. The owner is, like, obsessed with, like... There's if one person ever wants it, we have to keep it on the menu. So we sell, like, a pork chop that actually nobody gets. Actually, no one gets it. Except for, like, one guy. And they're so afraid of that one guy coming in and being like, "You don't have the pork chop anymore?" Because then they're worried that that guy will walk out, you know? Which, like, have him get anything else.
He can get, like, a steak. It's, like, the same thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, we have, like, a bunch of pastas. We have a bunch of seafood. We have, like, a pork chop, a steak, and a rack of lamb. And then also a cheeseburger and also a lamb burger. It's, like, it's, like, fancy Cheesecake Factory, you know?
Yeah, but without the cheesecake.
Or like BJ's, where you know, have a burger and also avocado egg rolls, you know?
And also a pizookie.
And also a pizookie. And also with you. Let us pray.
He is risen. Happy Easter, everyone. So Gordon orders... This little recap says linguine with shrimp sauce. I heard them call it a shrimp parmesan, which I found confusing, knowing what a chicken parmesan and an eggplant parmesan are. He also gets the
Well, I guess what's a shrimp sauce?
I imagine it's just like a lemon butter cream sauce.
Oh, just like a that would go good on shrimp, not like it's made of shrimp.
I guess. I don't know.
I know that the restaurant I work at does have like a lobster broth cream that they put on certain pastas, and I've never once figured out what the fuck that means. I don't know what
Well,
that
that means
is.
that no, because that would be mean they made a stock out of lobsters and then made a cream with the lobster stock.
Maybe they did that with shrimp, but shrimp doesn't seem very like
Shrimp isn't
savory.
flavorful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm imagining it's just like a shrimp scampi situation.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
So he gets that, and then a chicken Murphy, whatever that is, and
Yeah,
then
I've
a
never
steak
heard of that
Nelly.
in my life.
And then a steak Nelly, whatever that is. So then he's waiting for his food, and he like looks around the dining room, and he sees this broken ass lamp on the wall, and he fully walks over and like fiddles with it and is like leaning over like a table of people and like electrocuting himself trying to make this lamp stay like on the wall, and then he just gives up and walks back to his table.
Because he's a fucking bitch, Courtney. Because he's a bitch that
Alana's
won't
new
eat the
hot take.
fermented shark.
Eat the shark,
I
Courtney.
have!
I've eaten the shark. I would throw up. I
I've
would
seen some
instantly.
shit, man. I was there, man.
So the first meal arrives, and it's the linguine with the shrimp sauce that he says is bland, and the shrimp is rubbery, and the sauce is watery. Classic. Then he gets the chicken Murphy, which he says looks horrible. It's like a pile of like chicken breast that's been cut up and then like covered in oil or something. I don't know. It
It
doesn't
wasn't
look
good.
good.
It wasn't good.
It was like beige, and I don't like food that's like if it's unless it's deep fried, my food shouldn't really be beige, you know?
Yeah, I do know. It shouldn't be beige and like shiny. It's a problem when it's
Yeah.
shiny.
Yeah. So then he gets I lost my place. So then he gets the chicken Murphy. He calls Louis, I don't remember. The manager over, and then the daughter's over to like taste the chicken Murphy, and they all say it's gross. And so then he gets the steak Nelly, and he says that the meat is burnt and it tastes like charcoal. And then you texted me and you were like, how did they keep it a perfect mid rare on the inside and a burnt crisp on the outside?
Yeah, what I'm learning in this episode is I don't know how to cook shit. I'm glad that you have some sense about you, because I have no idea.
Because, well, it's valid because it doesn't seem like it should be that way. But my guess, my best guess, is that the grill is not only way too hot, because like you want the grill to be really hot, but it's also not clean.
Yeah,
If
so
there's
it's like
like, because
caked with shit. Yeah.
my best guess is that the burnt shit is like whatever sauce they're putting on it is burning on the grill and then coming up with the steak. And so you're having like three steaks worth of burnt sauce on your steak that's being served now, which in turn would make it taste like charcoal and grill and gross. Like,
Yeah.
you gotta clean the grill, my guy.
You gotta clean the grill, my guy.
It's very important to clean the grill. So he sits with Mike afterwards and tells him the food is gross and the dishes are dated. Mike gave the food a 9 out of 10. Gordon gives it a less than 2 out of 10. And Mike is like, you're wrong. Classic kitchen nightmare situation
Yeah.
we have going. So, Mike disagrees that the food is bad, that the menu is too large. And Gordon's like, cool, I'll be back later. Doing this again. So he comes back to observe dinner service, and Mike lets him know that he does most of the cooking and that the other guys kind of just support him in whatever he needs. Which, like, cool, but it very quickly turns out that Mike is doing literally everything. And, like, the food is coming out fast, but it's coming out, like, bad and, like, very poor quality. And he's just kind of, like, it literally cuts to him dumping frying pans of food onto plates so many times because he's putting no care into, like, how it looks either.
Yeah.
And Gordon's like, what are we doing? Because the food is going out fast and it's coming back into the kitchen just as fast too. You know?
Yeah, I do know. Sorry.
So the people are complaining that the food is like bland or rubbery or burnt. A dish of calamari was sent out that was overcooked, so it's mushy, and it comes back, and then steaks were burnt.
Oh my god, there's nothing more sad than a mushy plate of calamari. I don't know if you've ever experienced, but...
Like, I have, yes.
Good, fresh, fried calamari is so, like, mind-fuckingly good. And when
especially when you dip it in, like, a good sauce.
Oh my god, it's so good. But when it's bad, it is so disappointing. Yeah. That's it. That's my
especially because like when you're ordering fried calamari, you're like, I'm gonna get like tasty little onion rings, but without the onion.
Exactly. And then it's gonna be like a chewy little mush, fancy treat. Yeah.
And then you get like rubbery bubble gum that you can't chew. Like, ew.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Ew.
Ew.
So, all the while this is happening, Mike is also just like straight up drinking Budweisers back there with the boys. Like, he's popping them, like, yeah, a couple times through the night. And Gordon, at the end of the night, talks to Mike, and the other chef, his cousin, Daniel, I want to say? Don't remember. Sorry to this man. and is like, that was insane, the way you guys worked in there. Incorrect. Other guy, let me talk to Mike real quick. And Gordon's like, Mike, why are you drinking so much? And Mike's like, I don't know what to do. I haven't known what to do since my dad died. And Gordon's like, chill. Therapy. Therapy, yeah. Time with Gordon. So the next day, Gordon meets with the daughters in their home. And the couches in this house are astounding to me. Like, they're so poofy. Like, the way Gordon sits on this like giant armchair and like sinks into it, and they're like this little, like, baby weird... boy, and there's weird green, and they have tassels on it, and I'm like, what is this? I don't understand it, but, you know, whatever.
I'm glad you blocked it, because I gotta say, I have no memory of that couch at all.
You gotta go back and look at it.
I might have to go back and look at it.
It truly, like, I had to take a minute with it, because I was like, what is this couch? He tells the daughters what Mike said to him last night, and they're like, yeah, we really see him struggling. We don't know how to help him. We really want him to, like, take a break. He's overworking himself. And then Mike joins in and is like, you know, I'm, like, 55. I can't keep going like I was 25. Also, he's 55. He looks older.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
my father is currently 54 and does not look 54. Like, this man, I don't know.
Yeah, this man looked like a cool 70. Like a cool 70.
He looked like Ted Danson.
Oh my god, he did look like Ted Danson. Except Ted Danson has, like, light in his eyes and a fire in his heart, you know?
Yeah, and like a skip and a step.
Yeah.
So Mike joins them and is like, and his daughters like tell him, like, we really want you to succeed, we just want you to have like a good life, we don't want you to be stressed out all the time. And he finally agrees to maybe be somewhat more open to having help from other people, so that's cool. what a fucking boomer dad response to this, though.
So true, bestie.
Like, yeah, I do need help. I'll maybe be one day open to that. Thank you for the input.
Thank you for sitting down today.
Thank you for talking to me in our scheduled once a week time to talk to each other, daughters.
Thank you for your words and nothing else.
So Gordon and Mike go into the restaurant the next day to cook together. And then that's when we get a cool kitchen walkthrough real fast. It's not like anything dramatic. It's just kind of gross in there. And there's raw chicken stored with like calamari and old lobster bisque. Like it's just like generally unorganized. And Gordon gets all in a tizzy about it. And is like, call in the staff early so they can clean. And so Mike and other guy, Daniel, get on the phone and call in the staff early to come, like, clean the kitchen real fast. And then Gordon goes through cooking steaks with them. And Mike is like, yeah, it was really cool to learn from Gordon. Like, maybe I'm going to be more open to learning about it, maybe. Like, he again puts these qualifiers on everything.
Maybe I can maybe potentially maybe think about thinking about that, maybe doing maybe that. Maybe.
Yeah. And I will put the beer bottles away, probably. So.
Yeah, when did he say he was also drinking vodka cranberries? Did we already talk about that?
Oh, yeah, that was when after the first dinner service and they were outside talking and Gordon's like, tell me about your drinking.
Yeah, Gordon was like, are you fucking drunk right now?
And he's like, oh, you know, I had a couple beers behind the line and I'm drinking a vodka cranberry right now. And Gordon's like, so you can't be drinking while you're cooking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like fire and grease and shit happening and you need to be like high alert, my guy. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So they make these like cute little steaks and then they serve them to the staff and everyone loves it. And, we don't get a second dinner service in this episode, but we do get a wonderful scene of Gordon going to a guy who sells rugs. and Gordon goes to guy who sells rugs and is like, hello, I need rugs that can withstand a lot of foot traffic and also food. And guy with rugs is like, here are three options for you, Gordon Ramsay. And then he shows him swatches of rugs, and Gordon's like, I'll lock that one. It's blue. And then that's the end of the scene. The end.
Discord completely cut out all of your laughs, so I just heard, like, the occasional exhale.
It's okay. You'll hear it when you listen to this episode.
That's true.
So yeah, there was scene with guy with rugs, and it was super fun.
God, I love that guy. Learn his name. He's my favorite didn't actor. His name.
Didn't learn what rug company this was, so they weren't even advertising the rugs.
It's because they couldn't shell out for sponsorship money.
I'm just like, what? They had to fill time somehow. So. Gordon also says, as they're, like, showing B-roll of, like, the renovation, he's like, our most ambitious renovation yet. Or he doesn't say it, like, deep voice guy says, he's like, this is the most ambitious Kitchen Nightmares renovation yet. And then they revealed it the next day, and they just painted it blue.
Like, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
It was, like, fine. It was better than it was before.
Their sign that went from, like, a sign that made it look like a steakhouse and seafood place to, like, a real estate agent's office. Like, that's what the sign looked like.
I didn't like the sign.
It looked like they were a lawyer's office or something.
Yeah, my critique of the sign is that I wouldn't think that's a restaurant.
It was like, that is a boring person behind a desk sign.
Yeah, and then the inside is, like, this very dark blue color, and they put up, like, panels of, like, painted wood planks where the arches used to be, and everything has this, like, kind of, it's very, I think it's supposed to be, like, sleek modern, but, like, not, like, doing the whole, like, black tie thing, so they made it blue to be more casual, I guess?
I also found, like, they kept saying that it was so, like, elegant, and I was like, I don't know about that. But they, like, specifically took out the seafood and made it just a steakhouse, but then they painted everything blue and put stuff on the wall that looked like waves, and I was like, this reads seafood. This is wrong.
Yeah, because they also, the things they used on the wall were, like, the ship rope kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's reading seafood to me.
Exactly. Same. It looks like a seafood restaurant inside of a law office.
with a steakhouse in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Colonel Mustard with the knife. So they reveal the new menu, which everyone loves. They think it's delicious. And I'm like, also, here's my hot take of the day. I know steak, when it's done really well, is delicious. Trust me, I love it. I also don't think it's that hard to cook a steak.
It's
like
not.
Hot take.
It depends on the quality of the meat. And that's because when it's like, when it's stuff like that, same with like really good sushi, it's just fresh fish, because it's just fresh fish on top of rice or sometimes on top of nothing, you know?
Yeah, it's like you're not there for the fact that you're eating a steak. You're there for like a very good quality steak.
Yeah, unless so there's like a like, kick-ass marinade or something.
I'm thinking that because the restaurant was failing you before, the main problem was just that they weren't cleaning the grill and like taking advantage of the meat they were using.
Yeah.
Which is like the whole point of a steakhouse, Mike.
Yeah.
Michael. So it's relaunch night. Customers are loving the new decor and the new food in the kitchen. Gordon tells sous chef Daniel, it is Daniel, it says it, I was right, that he will be running things and Mike is just going to handle the grill. And it's working at first. And then Mike says, no, mine. And he starts delegating again, and everyone gets confused an hour in, and things are getting off track. And then Gordon's like, let me do my pep talk thing. And so he does his little pep. Hello, Toothless. Oh, please don't walk on my laptop right now.
Oh.
It's okay. I grabbed him. And so he relinquishes control once again, and everything is set right. And then they finish out the night happy. Happy customers. The end. That's Mike and Nelly's. I did go on a little bit of a deep dive onto Instagrams and Twitters after I finished this episode.
I would love to hear your findings, but first, did we talk about the fridge walkthrough? Sorry, I guess I wasn't listening. Did we talk about the fridge walkthrough when the solidified lobster bisque was just, like, in a bucket? Because that moment was really, like, very visceral for me.
Yeah, I said that they found raw chicken next to old lobster bisque.
It's important to me that the listeners understand what this lobster bisque looked like. And when we say old lobster bisque, I mean, like, it was so solid. You could pick up a ball of lobster bisque.
Which is gross. You don't want to do that.
It's also a weird color. It was a very deep red.
I also don't trust seafood that's older than, like, a couple days.
You shouldn't. It's good that you don't, because you're not supposed to.
Yeah. Like, I have a piece of salmon in my fridge that I meant to eat, like, a few days ago, and it's been, like, 2 days too long, and I'm just gonna have to throw it away. Like, you know?
Yeah.
That's my own neuroses, but, you know, who cares?
It's better, same with, like, you know, if you look at chicken and you're like, I don't know about that chicken, you should never assume chicken's gonna be okay. Other red meats are, like, likely to be fine, but, like, a chicken, don't bother.
Like ground beef, if it's, like, a little weird, it's okay if you cook it, like, real good. But, like, if it's a little gray, no, you gotta throw it away.
Yeah.
You gotta throw it away. Also, if it smells, throw it away.
Yes.
Throw it away, guys. Just throw it away. So, at the end of dinner service, they are all pleased with how it is. Everyone's crying, everyone's happy, and that's how the episode ends. And so, what happened next at Mike and Nelly's, do you think? Any predictions?
I think it lasted. It might be closed now, because these places always, like, seemed to have not survived the pandemic. But I think it made it out okay.
I'm sorry to say that it did not.
Oh, no. Oh, nuts.
So, in the weeks following filming, business was booming, and the menu was a big hit. Yelp reviews after filming were mostly good. A few negative reviews seemed to be off services or complaints of the menu changes made. Mike and Nelly's closed in January of 2012. The below message was posted on their website. It is with great sadness that we announce that Mike and Nellie's will be open for its final night, January 21st. It's been a great run. Thank you to all my friends, relatives, and loyal customers who have been here with me for the last 15 plus years. When the time is right, I will let you know where I will be. Mike and parentheses Nellie. Chef Mike appeared on Fox show Good Day Cafe. Okay. Oh. I think it's just a local New Jersey Fox thing. In May 2012, Mike was reported in New Jersey Monthly as managing and cooking at Ray's Little Silver Seafood Market. He was there a month before moving to Park 33 briefly. He now runs Blue Basil Catering, who offer catering services throughout New Jersey. And they're still going. They have a website and an Instagram. They posted in January of this year. That was the last time they posted on their Instagram. So they're still up and running.
Okay, so at least Mike turned out okay.
Yeah. I do have to go through his tweets for you, though, because they're a little weird.
Uh-oh.
Mike and Nellie's was aired on October 7th, 2011. The episode was filmed in July of 2011. And that's the end of the episode. So I was doing a little Googling, as I do at the end of these episodes. Sorry to my microphone. It's falling everywhere. And I was looking up, like, what's he doing now? Like, was the restaurant still open? And then I learned that he, like, had opened this catering business. It's called Blue Basil Catering. He, on the front of the website for Blue Basil, they say they mostly service, like, airlines and make foods for airlines, which is interesting. And I don't really know how that works, but they do, like, other catering stuff too.
Yeah, I guess they package their food into, like, the airplane trays.
Yeah. And so I was, like, Googling around, and the Mike and Nellie's Twitter came up when I was Googling. And the Mike and Nellie's Twitter was last used in 2016, but it was very okay. obvious. Sorry. Cut that out. So the Mike and Nellie's Twitter was last used in 2016, but it's very obvious to me that he hates Gordon Ramsay just based off some of these tweets.
Oh no.
And he says that for the next like couple years, every time I guess this episode reruns on BBC or somewhere, and he sees people like asking if the restaurant is still open, he will tweet, like, the restaurant closed in 2012. The lies of kitchen nightmares, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my
no.
God.
The lies?
Yeah.
For playing a rerun?
To all the inquirers, Mike and Nellie's closed on January 22nd, 2012. Kitchen Nightmares, fictional account of the inner doings. And I tried to, like, click on, because it just links to Facebook, but the Facebook links are all gone, which makes me think this Facebook account was deleted, which is annoying. But then I also found, the younger daughter's Instagram account, and I'm not going to say what these accounts are. I don't want you guys to like go do anything weird.
Yeah.
Her account's private anyways, but she has her boyfriend's account in her bio, and I clicked on that, and he's a weed grower.
Dude.
And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. So we've come full circle back to me. and that's what I learned about where Mike and his daughters are now. So, at least one of them. I didn't see anything about the other one. I think I saw on her LinkedIn she's like a actuator or something boring. So, you know.
Yeah, that's boring and lame.
But, you know, the other daughter, her boyfriend grows weed. Hey. So, you know, she's cool.
Eh.
But, yeah, that's Mike and Nellie's. What a fun episode.
What a fun little episode.
And all the classic Kitchen Nightmare little tropes. Just a little toned down, though. It wasn't, like, super over the top like some of them are. What's next week's episode? I gotta see. I didn't look.
It's probably a restaurant.
It's Luigi's. Oh, no.
Hey, it's a Luigi's.
Oh, you joke, but...
Oh, no.
They're like, they're like actually from Italy, Italian, and they.
Oh no!
And the wife of Luigi does talk like this.
It's a Luigi.
She has the full accent, and yeah, this one's gonna have a lot of screaming in it. They're very vocal. These young Italian men. They're not young. These middle-aged Italian men. So, yeah, that'll be exciting for next week.
It's called Passion, Alana. Courtney.
Alana.
Yes.
Welcome back to the United States.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad your dog's alive.
Thank you. Me as well, let me tell you. What a fucking month it's been.
Is there a GoFundMe yet? Or
I have created it. I still have to publicize it. But
you can start here if you want.
Yeah, maybe I'll link it. If I don't know how to, I don't know how to advocate for myself.
Because I'll do it for you. So because Khaleesi, Alana's Great Dane, spent a week and some change in a hospital and had to have her stomach like basically put back together from scratch. There's like $40,000 in vet bills. So, you know, it's a lot of money, and who can fucking afford that? But if we crowdfund, and if everyone donates, like, $5, like, we'll get there eventually. So just go click the link to the GoFundMe, share it with your friends if you can't donate yourself, and, I don't know, help Khaleesi not have tummy hurt syndrome anymore.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's not quite $40,000, but it is, like, it's close enough.
It's
a semester at college. It's a lot. It has,
yeah, it's a semester at UPS for
like,
sure.
It like, has actually like changed my life in a way, in order
yeah,
to make
you've had to make
those,
some like career choices in the last
yeah,
week.
In order to like make ends meet, it has actually like changed my life substantially. But she is worth it. She's worth it. So we do it for our children. So if you'd like to help out, it would be very greatly appreciated. Literally any amount would be something that would help me out. But also don't feel obligated. I would appreciate it, though. Thank you. That's my spiel. Don't
also,
eat fermented shark.
It was just Khaleesi's birthday, so you have to be nice to her.
She just turned 3, and she had to eat out of a tube. Because you heard, I was about to explain the tube thing again. You heard about it. She had to eat blended up dog food out of a tube on her birthday instead of a cake. So, you know.
So, help her have a better birthday next year. if you want to support Toothless, I don't know. Go follow him on Instagram.
Toothless is a very funny boy. He does deserve your likes and your comments and
he
your
is,
saves.
Dare I say, he is meme-worthy sometimes. So he does make the dumbest of faces. But, yeah. That's been... the first of, I don't know, we'll probably not have a break again until, actually, we're not going to have a break again until I leave for 2 weeks in May, and then it'll be my turn.
Amazing.
So, you know, we're going to get there a day at a time, but thank you everyone for listening to another episode of Ramsey's Recaps. If you like the show, I don't know, give us 5 stars on Spotify, because I think you can do that now, and
hell yeah.
I want Gordon Ramsay to notice me so I can quit my job and make money by podcasting. Thank you.
So real.
Follow us on Instagram at Ramsay's Recaps, or follow me at Courtney Sile if you want to see me post once every 3 months because I don't post ever.
Or follow me at Alana Feinwoman. I post too much.
She posts enough for both of us.
I do.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Boop, boop, boop.